Will you pray with me? O Lord, open our hearts that we might be receptive to the message of the angels, however they come to us this day. Open our lives that we might be receptive to your will for us, trusting that you have extraordinary things in store for us and for this world you love. In Christ we pray. Amen. Listen again for the word of God as it comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 2nd and 6th and 7th verses, as we think about the darkness of our times, of this world. Listen to God's promise to us still. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In my weekly email to you, I shared with you how hard it's been this year to feel like it's really almost Christmas. True confessions, we still don't have our tree up. I think it'll get there. The weather is really primarily the culprit. When it's been in the 60s and the grass is still green, it's feeling a lot more like March than December. And when I go down in the basement, it feels more like I should be getting the Easter baskets off the shelf instead of the Christmas decorations. But there are, of course, signs that it is almost Christmas. Signs not so much from lights in the windows or cards in the mail, but signs from you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been struck this week by how much both poignancy and joy is brought to us in this season. There's that frantic pressure to get everything accomplished. I've heard some trying to get gifts wrapped and cards sent, and students finishing final exams, and parents helping young adults move out of the dorm, one flying to Boston to get her son out of the school. I've heard from CFOs wrapping up their finances for the year and family foundations getting end-of-year distributions made. I've heard from newlyweds trying to get away and snowbirds planning their trip to Florida, and I confess that it makes me tired just thinking about it. Others of you, some of you recently widowed or divorced, or even long ago having lost someone, or in a new stage of empty nesting. Some have shared how lonely you are and how this week is worst of all, when absolutely everybody else seems to be surrounded by family and friends, while your most constant companion is memories from the past. Now that you're wife or husband has passed away, or your divorce is final, or the job is over, or the kids are gone, and there's nothing on the horizon. And each day is an effort to find new clarity and purpose, and you wonder if it will ever come. Still others of you have whispered how worried you are over your loved one's illness or your own, a child's mood swings or a parent's steep decline, a job that's ending prematurely, or performance expectations pressing down like a thumb on your neck, or the stock market's careening swings, or, of course, the world's security challenges. And still others of you have simply been beaming with joy. For these, for you, have been the sweetest moments in the world, when children's laughter fills the air, or your young adult comes home with a backpack full of dirty clothes and you get to be a mom or dad again, or your beloved says something so sweet, so typical, and fills your heart with joy again, and you're so grateful. Or even just the simple wonder of the sunset that stops you in your tracks. The fact is that for most of us, there are things on our heart this week above all weeks. Most of us come into these last days before Christmas heavy laden, sometimes with worry or with joy, but preoccupied. And it's hard to focus. It's hard to lift our eyes to take in the message of Christmas itself. Which is why it feels so right this morning to me that we will all, wherever we are, take this time to stop, to breathe, to light another candle, to sing another carol, to hear another scripture, to take in again the love of God here in this place together, where we're all reminded who we are and to whom we belong, where we're invited to remember that we're not alone, where we're encouraged to focus on God's love, on God's strong, resilient love that bears us up and holds us fast with steady buoyancy that nothing can take down. So, how do we do it? Well, instead of me yammering away any longer with yet another overburdened sermon, I invite you simply to rest in this moment in the presence of God's love through music. In a moment, our wonderful choir and instrumentalists will share with you an offering of sacred, beautiful music, a piece called Gaudete, which means joy. Joy. We had a taste of it in the beautiful introit that we heard. I invite you to take a deep breath and to relax into their sound. For many of us who love this kind of beautiful music, and for those for whom classical music is less familiar, I encourage you simply to seek and find delight in this gift. Relax into some familiar tunes and be attentive to new melodies. I invite you to listen for the harmonies, cascades of sound like the tinkling of bells. Listen for the echoes, women's voices taking the lead as men's voices follow like a round. Attend to the poignancy of flute and strings as if they are your own heart stretched by memory or worry or hope. Receive this as a gift from our choir, our own dear members and our guest musicians, their expression of God's love made flesh. And however you have come to this place, may you find the deep peace of this season in this sacred song.